You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system, so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again. Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
I got stuff for you.
Holy moly. I need to get some snakes and release them around my house.
But I love eating people. I love eating kids.
These guys are the scientists of the supernatural, lecturers leaving lessons for inquiring laymen. They are applying the scientific method to a world that baffles science. They are the cryptids of the corn.
Every day that you open your mouth,
I know, right?
I'm more convinced that you're abducted by aliens.
No.
And it just stood up. I mean, it just like kept going and going. And she goes, what the?
These are idiots.
I was laughing reading this because I already knew how you would feel.
Idiot. What part of the story fits your balloon?
Well,
this isn't a UFO. Yeah.
But who else has big black wings and red eyes?
Batman.
Well, Mothman.
Oh, yeah, Mothman.
Well, everyone, I think we know exactly what it is. So say it all with me. It was the Sandhill Crane.
Would you try it?
No.
You wouldn't eat it?
No.
Why?
Because they're probably toxic.
There'd be a lot of poop in my pants. I've seen a 6-foot alligator go swinging through the air and slam into a tree.
Welcome back to Cryptids of the Corn Podcast.
Feels so good to be back.
I am the great and powerful mystery.
And I'm J-Clone 81.
You need to match my energy.
Man. Well, I'll let you do the singing.
We have one I've wanted to do forever, and it's got some weird stuff with it. Do you remember what the episode is? Do you have any idea?
Monsters That Made Us.
Part 3! Just keep rolling.
Still
it.
Going.
No, the Dark Watchers.
Oh.
Do you actually know what this is? I know you probably heard the term, but do you know what this is?
The Dark Watchers. Well, I don't, but I got a couple of guesses, maybe.
So we'll get into it, but they're out of California.
It's not like the Bigfoot things, right? Or is,
maybe.
Or is it the flying, like the Black Knight satellite?
Maybe.
Or is it like those birds?
Maybe.
Oh, okay. I was trying to just say something you disagree on.
I don't agree with any of those, but...
But you don't disagree.
I don't know.
Maybe.
I don't have one in a cage.
Oh.
So I can't tell you.
True.
So before we get rock and roll with new Patreon members, welcome, Gator Girl.
Welcome, Gator Girl.
Jean? Yeah. Pearson.
Pearson?
Yeah, it's spelled Pearson, so...
Okay.
Dylan! Scarlet? Welcome, all of you.
Welcome, everyone. Okay.
I don't know what you're looking at me for.
I don't know.
Those are the names. That's how
I thought you were going to keep going.
No.
Welcome to the Corn Crew, also known as the Corn Cult, where you get nuggets of info and truth only on our exclusive Patreon.
Live shows. We got a bunch of live shows coming all over the country. Our Arkansas one with Drunken Cryptids is already on the website. It's April 5th in North Little Rock, Arkansas. If you want tickets for that, go on to cryptidsofcorn.com, go under the live show tab, and you can get your tickets there. There's only 50 tickets for that one available, so if you want to come see us in North Little Rock, Arkansas, come on out. We cannot wait to hang out with you guys. It's going to be a fun night. It's at Old Bart's. I missay it all the time.
They got good barbecue, though.
They got really good barbecue, so it's a barbecue bar, or barbecue place and a bar, but we have they have a live show room, so we have that.
It's a barbecue?
A barbecue. So can't wait. But if you want to come to any of our live shows, we have several more going to be announced relatively soon. So watch for that. I think all we don't have any cons left for the year. So I think the next one we have is Frogman Fest. So we can't wait to see you guys there.
Yeah, 2025 Frogman Fest, Loveland, Ohio.
Loveland, Ohio. The book should be available on the website, CryptoCorn.com, under the book tab. If you want to buy Living UFOs, The Ocean Above Our Heads, you can get it there. You can get a signed copy. If you mark it, I'll even draw a little jellyfish in there for you.
Ooh, some little added bonuses.
Yeah.
Courtesy of Mr. E.
We are shipping to Australia and the United Kingdom. If you live in a country outside of those regions and you want a signed copy, just get a hold of us. We'll see what we can work out. I'll go to the post office and see how much it is to ship.
And I'll draw you a picture of a Bigfoot showering with a frogman.
There you go. If not, you can get it on Amazon as well. And there's also the Kindle version on Amazon or on Kindle, which is owned by Amazon. It's the same
thing, yeah.
So you can get all that stuff there too. But if you want a signed copy, you got to get it from cryptidsofthecorn.com or come see us at a festival. Last little thing, I'm still looking for hometown legends. You have a hometown legend, whether it's a cryptid, a ghost, a paranormal thing of any shape, size, a UFO, any of it, please, please write into us. And you can turn those into cryptidsofthecornpodcast@gmail.com. Please send those into us. It's for a very special project. We cannot wait. You got anything to add?
I think you were pretty well covered it.
All right, I was just trying to rip through them fast so we're not spending 8.5 minutes. All right, ready for the Dark Watchers.
All right, the Dark Watchers.
Do you really not have any idea what the Dark Watchers are?
I mean, my initial guess was Bigfoot-type creatures, but that's about it.
Some people lead to that. We'll get into that kind of side of it. I personally, we'll see how I think of it as we get through it. Now, you may hear some contradictory stuff here. So my two major sources for this episode is literally darkwatchers.com, which is a group that had made a website that has a ton and ton and ton of information. They live there where the stories have taken place over the centuries. So that's the main website and the main information source I've been using. I use a little bit of Mysterious Universe and a couple of their authors and just a couple of random sources. This is a hard one to research. And like I said, there's a couple contradictory stories of how it started.
Okay.
So we're going to kind of bounce around a lot. So if you hear something that doesn't match up with something, just ask and we'll go over it again.
So the origin story is a bit muddied?
Yeah. Definitely. The Santa Luca Mountain Range, a segment of the coastal range of western central California in the U.S. This rugged range extends southward about 140 miles from Carmel Bay to the Camayune River in Monterey in Santa Luz counties. The lowest in the south, the range rises about 5,862 feet. And at Junipero Serra Park in the north, the range parallels the Pacific Ocean to the west and the San Luis Valley to the east. The mountains, named in 1602 by the Spanish explorer Sebastian Verusico, are heavily wooded and embrace the diversity of the Los Ponderos National Forest. A scenic highway runs along the ocean just west of the range. So these are the mountains where the Dark Watchers live.
Okay.
So that's why we're kind of getting into... It's very unique. The mountain range is very cool. They actually have like a half dozen subspecies of just snake there.
Oh, they only live there?
Yeah, like rosy boas. There's a ton and ton of rosy boas here.
That was my first guess.
Which are, yeah, they're really neat. The range is home to 203 named mountains, the highest and most prominent of which is Junipero Serra Peak, which is 5,869 feet tall.
It's pretty tall.
The Santa Luca Mountain Range starts in the city of Carmel by the sea, and terminates near the Camamai River. Like I said, it's located within the counties. It is never more than 11 miles from the coast.
Okay.
So it's really, really close to the coastline the whole time, sometimes right up on the coast.
Kind of just follows it, basically?
Yeah, it parallels the ocean. Much of the range is located in the region of California known as Big Spur, which we're going to talk about the Big Spur incident in our Patreon episode this week.
Is this Northern California or lower?
Central.
Central, okay.
Did you miss when I said that a minute ago?
I must have.
Yeah. So it's central. It's pretty much, when you're looking at it, it's pretty much in the middle of the coastal area of California.
Okay.
But like I said, most of it's in Big Spur, which is just the Big Spur UFO incident, which is going to be this week's Patreon episode.
Didn't California used to have like a giant lake there that
yeah.
drained? It's gone now, but yeah. in
it's
our history.
It's kind of near that, yeah.
Okay.
So, which is a highly popular tourist destination known for its long, scenic stretches of undeveloped coastline. If you've ever seen pictures of the California coastline, it probably came from Big Spur.
Okay.
Within Big Spur, the Santa Luca mountain ranges rise up from the ocean, creating ridges that are almost 5,000 feet above the water. So have you ever seen those pictures of just the ocean being super far down below these mountain cliffs?
Oh, okay,
that's
yes.
That's here. In fact, the range's Cone Peak is among the steepest coastline mountains in the United States.
Dang, so it's pretty dangerous.
Oh, I mean, yeah, you could walk off.
You ever seen, I know I've talked about it on the show, this is probably kind of it, but it was on Almost Heroes, that Chris Farley movie. It was his last movie he filmed with Matthew Perry where they're the explorers trying to beat Lewis and Clark to the Pacific Ocean. But at the very end, they get to the ocean, they're looking and they see it, but it'll just like this. They're at the very top of this cliff, basically. It's their only way down. And he looks over like a mile down on they see Lewis and Clark taking this path down. So they're almost going to beat him to the ocean. So he just goes straight down the cliff face to beat him there. And he does. But you can imagine Chris Farley going down the cliff face.
5,000. This is like a straight cliff.
Exactly.
This isn't one you could slide down.
No. Well, then it was that one, but he did.
The Santa Luca Range runs parallel to the Diablo Range. It's from the western boundary of the agricultural Sanilis Valley. Humans have lived in the Santa Luca Mountain Range and the surrounding areas for thousands of years. Okay, now I have several Native American peoples. I'm going to try to say the name of. The Olin, the Salan, and the Islan people.
Oh, those didn't seem too bad.
We'll see. all inhabit the areas, living in the mountain ranges during the summer months and closer towards the coast during the winter. So these were seasonally migrating people that lived there.
Okay.
Juan Carbo, a Spanish sailor, the first European to visit the area, having sailed up the coast of California in 1542, but had never made landfall in the region because it was 5,000 feet of cliff.
Right, yeah.
And like, huh, that's pretty up there. Never going to get up there.
Let me dock my boat on the side of this mountain.
In the 1770s, the Spanish created multiple missions through the region, pushing the native inhabitants of the land off their territory and forcing them into labor areas. So basically, like, what happened to the Native Americans everywhere.
Yeah, so awful.
Is the ones that weren't murdered were put to work.
Awful.
Many of the original people of the area were killed through the violence and introduced disease by more Europeans started settling in the area. So yeah, well, I don't think any of those tribes are really left.
So sad, too.
When Adel, California became a part of Mexico after the Mexican Wars of Independence, much of the region was priced out of huge ranchos between 1820 and 1840. Save for the Big Spur area, which mostly was too rugged to develop. So that's why it's still here, is because it was just mountain. During the 1860s, though, loggers cut down many of the most accessible coastal redwoods and tan bark oaks, and later of which were critical for tanning process and begudging the leather industry. Near the city of Gorda, there was even a small gold rush in the 1880s, when the miners found about $4.6 million in today's or 2019 money there for a few years. Do you know who made the most money off the gold rush? This isn't a joke.
The U.S. government.
No, it was the people selling the shovels and the panning equipment.
Oh, wow.
That's not even a joke. You can look it up. The people that made the most money were the people that were selling the equipment to go mine for gold.
Not bad thinking, though.
Yeah. I'm going to go sell shovels.
Yeah. Huh.
All right.
That's smart. That's just smart.
So, the Chumash lost Villegatus Ocasaurus in the validity of their stories.
Are you talking? It sounds like you're naming dinosaurs.
It's Spanish. I just can't read Spanish. Spanish settlers first moved into the area and were said to have witnessed the Dark Watchers, whom have been dubbed, that was their name for it.
Oh.
The Lost Villegatus Orcos.
Okay.
Which I think, you know, that was the name they... So the there is internet myths that the native Chumash tribes of central coast of the California and the Channel Islands called them the Old Ones, or this name that I can't read.
Okay.
Possibly it could have been the early Spanish or Mexican ranchers that named them this instead.
That long name.
Yeah, that long name. But yeah, so the Chumash tribes that live there, that's hearsay, whether they call them that or not.
Mm.
They're probably, you know, we don't know. One of the most detailed and accounts of the Chumash beliefs, arguably, was in 1974, a 1,200-page doctorial by Thomas Blackburn. I wonder if it's Lyle's uncle.
Wouldn't that be nuts?
Yeah. Was a narrative. Blackburn's principal source of the writing of his dissertation about the Chumash belief, massive archive collection of Native American integral and anthropologist John Peabody's between 1912 and 1928. Basically, given this whole big oral narrative of the Chumash Native tribes, given their legends. So they basically went through the Chumash beliefs. When experts having researched extensively into the subject matter, left important question, did the Chumash really tell stories about the Dark Watchers? If it was going to be based on the answer of Blackburn's work, the Chumash belief, there was concluded that there was no creature of anything like the Dark Watchers mentioned by the oral narratives of the Native American tribes in the area. Hmm. So there's, depending on who you talk to, either the natives seen the Dark Watchers or they didn't.
Never heard of it. Didn't even exist.
Which may indicate what the Dark Watchers are if they developed when the Spanish started killing everybody in the area.
Oh.
And started seeing the Dark Watchers then.
Okay.
So any questions so far?
Nothing's popping up yet. Still soaking it up. I'm still soaking it in.
So let's talk about what they even look like. Legend holds that they are haunted by strange pitch black specters, this whole area. It appears at a distance and seems to watch those who wander through the mountains. It sometimes simply stare at off into directions. So you're coming into these mountain ranges and you see these giant black figures.
Mm-hmm.
Not like black as in skin color, like just like shadow.
Right.
A lot of times they have the giant rimmed hats. And sometimes they're staring at you. And sometimes they're just staring off into the distance. The nature and purpose is completely unknown. They have long been reported by people venturing into the mountains. Pretty much during a certain period of time, everybody was seeing the Dark Watchers on the ridges at the tops of these mountains. So when you're going through these mountain passes, they'd be on the ridges to the left and right of you staring at you.
Like the Tusken Raiders.
Like the Tusken Raiders.
No difference.
Except massive.
I can't do it, but...
The story is the same. Someone climbing the slopes or hiking on these trails or beating a path through the thick vegetation would look up and see a large human-like figure graded in a black hat in black robes with no skin showing as far as they could tell, looking down at them or else slowly surveying the area. If the witness moves or approaches the figure or tries to call to its attention, most of the time it vanishes. There are tons and tons of stories that say when you see the Dark Watchers, you look down and you keep walking.
Okay.
You do not look at them. You do not try to make contact with them. You do not try to chase them down. Sometimes there's people talking about they are really, really close to you, like within 50 to 60 feet. And they're huge. Sometimes people report them being 17, 18, 20 feet tall.
Oh, okay. So just massive.
Mm-hmm. In the Santa Luca Mountains in California, legend speaks of the mysterious dark figures on these peaks. They've, like I said, been called the Dark Watchers. They've been seen in the Santa Luca mountain range in California, mostly around twilight and dawn. They are typically described as being 7 to 10 feet tall, but some of them putting up to 20 to 25 feet tall, and others giving them the name Little People.
Okay, is that like a joke?
It's I can't tell. It's conjecturing the majority of sightings. The Dark Watchers, like I said, are humanoid in shape, so they're roughly humans. They appear to have a head, long arms, long legs, and a torso.
Hats?
And hats. occasionally spotted holding a staff or a walking stick.
Okay.
They have been observed with... Some people have been say they've seen facial features. As far as I can find, never been said to have facial features. According to the legends, some more require for the Dark Watchers to make themselves more known to hikers in the mountains. Those who carry guns or wearing waterproof clothing seem to scare them off, according to some local legends.
Waterproof clothings?
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay.
They prefer to only reveal themselves to hikers who wear more old-fashioned garb. So it seems like the more modern stuff you're wearing, the less likely they are to show themselves.
To interact with you, yeah.
There is one off reports stories of local man who was hiking in the mountains sometime in the 1960s who saw the Dark Watchers and somehow had enough time to study and process eventually what he was seeing. He called out to one of his fellow hikers in order to alert them of the presence of the mysterious figure, but when he turned back, the figure that had been standing there had vanished completely off the ridge. Naturally, the story is vague, and that's about all you can find of it. But yeah, so the bizarre entities, like I said, some say they were called the Old Ones. This is that contradictory stories. Depending on where you look, some people talk about the Chumash tribes having them as like they are the old ones. They are the people that were there before the people. Others, you can't find anything of it. The Spanish were the first ones to encounter these beings. Mm-hmm. I don't know what's right. I really don't. I can't find very little either way. But yeah, you ready to get into some accounts and stuff? And first, or what, do you have a question?
Well, I had a connection, or I thought maybe, but from the video games, like Legend of Zelda.
Okay.
They talk about this tribe that was there before in the land of Hyrule in Zelda. She's showing my nerd. But there was this, the race that founded, like co-founded the land of Hyrule was the Zonai race. And they're this really tall, like alien fish looking alien people. But like they're every now and then, like in the newer games, you kind of run into some of their ghosts or some of their spirits. And you can talk to them and stuff, but it's I don't know. But you said something about them being like the ancient people that were there before. I mean, maybe it was the people who lived here before. Maybe they were bigger and taller and watched over things.
100% break that down. But like I said, they're seen. Where they're seen is on top of these mesas, on top of these ridges, on top of these cliffs. A lot of people that see them describe them as being, there's no way a human could get there, especially their size. Mm-hmm. And then if you look away, they disappear.
Yeah.
And there's like no ridge, like you can't leave without being seen. But we talk about giants being on these ridges, but they're skeletal almost. These are very thin beings most of the time. I'll tell you some stories later about what happens. Like some people say when you look at them, what happens? It's really bad.
Oh gosh.
Like if you actually see their face, it's really bad.
That's not good.
What their purpose is isn't really known. Some people have a lot of respect for them and say that they are guardians of the travelers in these really harsh areas. So they're kind of watching over you to see if you to make sure you get there. Because they say when you see them, some people feel, especially we're talking the 1700s and 1800s, when you were traveling through these mountain passes, it was very hard. People died constantly. But a lot of the travelers said when you seen them, it was a good omen that you were being watched over in your travels and that they were taking care of you as part of it. Others had the exact opposite, that you were going to befall hardships on this travel because you've seen a dark watcher.
Oh, I was almost even thinking, if they're just kind of like corralling people, like what's it called, sheep herding them, where they're keeping you within the boundaries. So like if you are traveling and
that could
they kind of funnel you in the area they want you to go in, rather than
because you're not supposed to walk towards them.
Right. Exactly. Yeah.
Even if they're close to you, which there are a couple stories where they're like you could walk to them.
Uh huh.
A couple of the old travelers that were with like the group said you just look down, look at your feet, keep walking.
Yeah.
Do not walk at them.
Do not engage.
So these beings have been sighted, you know, ever since at least the 1700s. There are very well-known literary mentions of these mysterious beings from the writer of John Steinbeck in his book in 1938, The Long Valley, in which the creatures were written about in short stories called Flight. Particularly in one passage, it reads this. Peep looked over the top, the next dry, withered ridge. He saw a dark form against the sky, man's figure on top of the rock. He glanced away quickly, not to appear curious. When a moment later he looked up again, the figure was gone. Peep looked suspiciously back every minute or so. His eyes sought the top of the ridges ahead. Once on the white barren spur, he saw a black figure for a moment, but he looked away quickly and for one of the dark watchers. No one knew what the watchers were, nor where they lived, but it was better to ignore them, as they never show interest in them. They do not seem to bother anyone who stayed on the trail and minded their own business. This is undoubtedly based on previous lore of these entities.
Right.
And other writers at this time had basically said the same thing of the Dark Watchers, including noble poet Robinson Jeffers in the poem Such Counsels You Gave to Me in Other Poems is the title, where forms are human, but they're certainly not human. He says this, he thought it might be one of the watchers, who are often seen in lengths on coastal ridges, forms that look human to the eye, but are certainly not human. They come from behind the ridges to watch, but as he approached it, he recognized a shabby clothes and pale hair as he averted forehead and concave lines of the eyes and the jaws.
Ugh, that sounds off-putting.
Well, listen. So what has not been surprised when the figure turning towards him was quite twilight show his own face.
So it was like he's healing
then
himself.
Then it melted and merged into the shadows behind it.
Oh, gosh. Okay. Either, okay, this
thing. So he's describing his own, he's an older guy. He was describing his own face.
Yeah.
So when he got too close to the watcher and he was staring at it too long, when the watcher turned and looked at him.
He saw himself.
Yeah, he saw his own face.
So either.
Maybe slightly withered until it melted into the shadows.
Oh, gosh. This thing's messing with him or he's on something.
Or it could be an omen to stay, you know, stay away. Or it could be what we talk. I mean, I don't want to get too much right now. But with the Fae, putting on, trying to look at least somewhat friendly.
Yeah, I
guess. Trying to put on your own face. It may, you know, to us it's scary.
Yeah.
But to them it may be, you know, what can I do to make myself look more welcoming?
There you go, yeah.
Is look like you.
I get, yeah, I mean, that's,
maybe
I guess.
Taking it too literally.
Yeah, extremely, because that's Uncanny Valley then you're getting to right there. You're like, especially when you see yourself.
In the mid-1960s, we're legislating to the Dark Watchers made by a high school teacher who was out hiking on the range in Monterey, on the Monterey Peninsula. He was walking along when he claimed to have seen a tall figure looming upon a ridge, which seemed to possess merely standing and compelling in the scenery. The hiker called out to the mysterious figure, and at that instance, the entity simply dissolved from the sight as if it had never been there at all.
Mm.
So he sees this guy on a ridge, and once he starts yelling to him, hey, you know, what, you okay? You need anything? Just melts.
Like Marty McFly in the picture, Back to the Future.
There have been numerous reports of sightings of these strange entities since, right up to very recent years. And I have this, so this is some Mysterious Universe stuff, and I have more from other sites. One strange occurrence told of the witness from Monroe Valley, California, in 2011 said this. Many, many years ago, I and a friend were driving through the dirt fields here in Monroe County in the old east part, near what I believe to be the old abandoned barns, when they were been haunted by my friend's car that had been broke down. Could have been a coincidence, but it was a Volkswagen Bug. It was dusk at best. There was no way we were going to make it out of the fields before the pitch black getting ready to lost in our hunt down in the dark, we decided to sleep in the car and set out in the morning to go get a tow truck. So they're way out in the middle of nowhere. So they decide instead of trying to walk back in the dark and get lost and, you know,
they're going to sleep it out.
They're going to sleep it out in the car. It was way before the days of everyone having cell phones and could get quick help. As we were killing time in the pitch black, we were hanging out inside and outside the car, killing time, sharing smokes. We started to distract with what looked like a black shadow, even distributed completely encircling us. They did not move. So black shadows start encircling the car.
Not good.
They did not move. They stayed motionlessly, but they have significant size based on the distance. I would say at least the size of a small car, like we were bugs ourselves to them. Whatever they were seemed hunched over. They almost perhaps kneeling. Time passed. They never moved, though we walked from the car and got in and out of the car to see if they were seeing the same kind of like optical illusion, yet we couldn't explain or direct ourselves. To this day, it racks my brain. So they never got any closer, but there was a whole circle of them around the car off in the distance.
Mm-hmm. The whole time.
Yeah.
Pretty much all night.
Massive figures, he said, the size of a small car. But they appear to be kneeling or whatever. So is it an optical illusion?
Okay. I don't know.
Are they massive beings that are watching them to see what they're doing in their area?
Well, if he describes them as massive and they're only the size of a small car, you know, I mean, obviously it's not that tall, but it's got to be like...
Bulky.
Bulky, yeah, which is odd.
And he says that it appears that they were kneeling.
Okay. Well, maybe that would make sense for the bulk. Maybe he's...
They may be sitting down watching these kids.
Right, yeah. I guess so, yeah. Sitting Indian style, so you get the, it looks wider. I don't know. Trying to piece it together.
A 2013 report from Elizabeth Benzrit from Santa Marta, California. It was a broad daylight near Santa Luis Reservoir. She says this of her encounter. I remember one day my friend and I were coming back from Los Angeles. We passed Santa Luis Reservoir. We had drove on the road, and I saw something at the distance down at the end of the mountain. It was really big, a really big human figure. But it wasn't. It had a black cape kind of thing, like the Grim Reaper. And it was leaning over, holding onto a staff at a paddle of water, puddle of water. Or it was seemed to be at a distance. It was in the daytime, too. I couldn't identify if it wasn't a person. Even in the mid-light, He was very, very dark. It reminded me almost that of a raven. I told my friend that was driving us to look over the mountains. Surprisingly, she was able to see a glimpse of it. I asked her what she saw without giving her any details. She said exactly what I had saw. She only looked at it for about 5 seconds, but it was able to see it. She almost lost control of the car, too, as she was looking at it. It was bugging her until I got back and saw it. So we were tired of driving already. The Dark Watchers are real. Mm-hmm. So at the base of the mountain is a giant thing with a, almost a Grim Reaper style with a staff that's at a puddle of water.
Okay.
So is it just poking the puddle? Is it having fun?
Or is it using the water to manifest itself? I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Another 2013 account was from Brian in Hollister, California. And he claims this is the entity he's driving home. Here's what he would say of his incident. When he was coming home from San Bernardista, or Hollister side, he saw a very large dark figure standing on the edge of the mountain, which was extremely weird. Ever since, they'd never seen anyone cross over the barbed wire fence and travel on the road daily on all hours. We drove by it, slowly behind the figure, noticing it staring off at the distant valleys and mountains. It appeared to have a large cape with straight shoulders and was very broad. It seemed to have a hunch on its back. At the first form at a distance, I thought it was a condor. But when I got closer, it stood well over 10 feet tall. I did not notice us driving behind it, but when we found a spot on the cliff road to turn around and get a better look, it was completely gone. So you see this massive human thing. They think it's a condor at first.
Big bird.
Yeah, well, and I get that. A big giant black bird. You know, I see how the shoulders and everything like that. When they get really close to it, it's a guy-like thing staring off into the mountains longingly.
Man, been there.
Well, I mean, it's think about it. They're all out of time staring off at maybe what used to be.
Ah.
Until they're noticed.
Right, yeah.
Yeah. So 2015, there was a report from a long-distance runner calling himself Joey in Salamore, California. The witness said this about training him in a race in the mountains when he saw something peculiar. He says this, time of day 2 p.m., I was running up in the area where no humans could climb without gear. And I saw a black figure plain as day. I had never seen anything like it up in the mountains. It was darker than dark. I could not explain it. A year passed today, January 24th, and I saw it again in the exact same spot. So there have been tons and tons of reports. 2018, there was a report from Oja, California. And that one out on a hike in the mountain when he came across a very bizarre sight indeed. I was out hiking on a remote trail up in 33 in Oja. It was about an hour up the mountain, no people, no cars in sight. As I was hiking, I had an eerie feeling like I was being watched. I looked up at the top of the mountain. It was a black figure. I waved jokingly, not really thinking the object was a person. It waved back.
Not what you expect.
Thinking I maybe was tripping or it was a tree waving in the wind, I took a puff of my cigarette, only to see the figure bellow out a plume of smoke as well.
That's pretty cool.
It started seeing it flowing, and as I was flowing, almost floating vertically, I ran like hell back to my car, spraying my knee in the process. So what do you think of that?
I'm wondering if it's the wave back is pretty cool. you don't hear that much.
What do you mean?
Like it responding back. Normally,
oh yeah, no, they don't.
They don't typically do that. Like, to actually have one wave back at you, that's got to be pretty significant.
So I have a bunch more. We're going to get into more, and then we're going to get into like what these things could be.
Okay.
But before that, we're going to take our ad break. Are you ready?
Yeah, I'm starving.
Suey! I got me this hot, fresh squonk steak, but man, it tastes bad. Jay, you got anything to fix this up?
I think you need some seasoning on that squonk fixer up.
Well, what do you got?
How about you try this right here? It's called Bigfoot Breath. Raw garlic seasoning made from fresh garlic.
Oh, give me that. Sure. Well, it did make it taste a lot better. Jeez.
Brought that squonk right alive, didn't it?
You know, I'm going to have to kill more squonks to use more of this seasoning.
Oh, how about you try this instead? How about you try my spicy garlic seasoning?
Oh, give it here. Suey! That's good stuff.
Spicy, but not too spicy.
That's perfect. Where can you get these delicacies?
Oh, you can find these on flavorsforest.com. This is our newest spice that just been created, and it's from Flavors of the Forest.
Make sure you all get some at the links down below. We'll catch you. Suey!
We'll catch you. I like that.
You're talking too soon.
I do?
Yeah.
Why is that?
It's hard to find the ad then.
Oh, well.
You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system, so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
You have 5 new messages. Hey, Carl, it's Jen from finance. Could you submit your expenses this week? Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, finance. Just need those receipts today. Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.
All right, I only have a couple more encounters. There's not... Now, these are one of those cryptids.
What do you mean?
The dark figures.
Okay.
Or the dark watchers, sorry. Or one of these things that have kind of taken on like a creepypasta life in modern day.
Gotcha, okay.
So you kind of sort some of that stuff out.
Sift through the actual stuff, yeah. And the stories and from the real stories, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, I have another one from Romana, California. While flying my twin-engine Beechcraft in the southerly course, just 20 nautical miles north of Vannevar FAB, I glanced toward the Santa Luca mountain range just after sunset and saw what appeared to be seven large dark figures spaced out what appeared to be evenly apart. They had even spacing about one every quarter mile.
Okay.
So he was flying over and he was looking at this mountain range, and about every quarter mile there was one of these dark figures standing on top of this mountain.
Okay.
So yeah. What do you think of that one?
Oh, that's it. Okay. That's it. I mean,
a lot of these are short.
It almost, it's like they're putting up a perimeter, you know? Like watching, I don't know.
Another one.
Another piece to the puzzle, let's just put it that way.
June Lake, up in the Eastern Sierras, the dark watchers are there all the time. They were always out at dusk and dawn. We see tall, dark silhouettes. They almost look like horses standing on their hind legs with the assistance of a walking stick. It's pretty creepy, but nobody's ever got close to see them. They disappear the moment you get close.
Hmm. It's like a mirage.
Way back in the mid-80s, I used to camp up and spend a lot of time in Big Spur. I have seen several strange things in the woods. They look like they're wrapped in something black. They look like small pointed ears on their head. So, like, it could be the brim of that hat they're talking about, or it could be actual ears. All of that being said, they stand in one spot. After a while, you just would disappear. I couldn't even get enough time to see what they were.
Hmm.
Any questions?
No questions. I have thoughts.
Now, I have a whole bunch of stuff what the Dark Watchers could be. And like I said, the Dark Watchers, the history is all muddled up. And some of that is the creepypasta. Some of that is these poets. Mm-hmm. Some of that is these people saying the Charmash people had legends of them, and some say they didn't. I can't find anything directly from the Chumash people. I can't find directly from them.
What their explanations are.
Well, if they even encountered them. They lived there.
Gotcha, okay.
You know, they lived there for thousands of years. So, if they weren't seeing them, then is it because of what the Spanish were doing in the area that caused this? Or is it that the Spanish made it up? Or, I have tons and tons and tons.
Or is it Charmash? Is that what you're saying?
Chumash.
Chumash. Or is it the Chumash people getting their revenge?
Well, I have one story of something bad.
Okay. Well, I mean, any people that are pushed out of their home.
What? That never happened in North America.
Probably don't have good...
That didn't happen.
Energy, right? Especially when they're finally been deceased. I'm sure it's just not the most positive thing flowing through them.
I've heard a couple episodes from different podcasts I've listened to over the years with the Dark Watcher stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them had more lore than I had. But I couldn't find any backing of any of it.
So it could have just been a Reddit thread that made it up.
And I think some of it's the creepypasta.
Mm-hmm.
And like you said, like Reddit, you know, Reddit's good and bad. It's a good resource and a bad resource at the same time. So I don't know. I didn't include a lot of it. Like I said, I had a lot of trouble with actually finding where they're from. I'm going to go personally that they were first seen in the 1700s after the Spanish got there.
Okay.
I can't find anything of the Chumash people like actually having encounters with these things regularly. They have their tons of amazing lore and spiritual beliefs, but nothing that really, as far as I could find. If I'm wrong, please send this stuff. Send a link, send something.
Right. If you're from this area.
Please. I just can't find anything that verifies.
Right.
There's plenty you can find of saying that all the Dark Watchers are from this one town, which we're going to talk, like, yeah, all of it. So I got all kinds of things what the Dark Watchers could be. But do you want to take your guesses first before I get into this big list?
Well, I got a couple ideas, and I don't know if it's necessarily true, but or, you know, correct, but just throwing them out there.
I mean, we don't know.
We don't know, yeah. We don't know. One of them, what if it's like remote viewers or something?
I cannot believe you got one that's not on my list. Aha. I have a giant list.
And that's not one?
No.
All right, there we go. Remote viewers, like if it's like people, like other people, or even other creatures from other dimensions.
We've talked about the shadow people, you know, and these seem to be big shadow entities.
Yeah.
Shadow, at least shadowy.
Right, yeah.
And
they're just kind of there, like maybe that's a...
Enjoying the mountains.
Maybe there's something under the mountains, like quartz or something, like a deposit of something that makes it easier to... Mm. And that's just like an area where... it's like training almost. You just can do it. You can go there. You can, and it's pretty. So why not go there and just look at all the stuff? See, look over there. There's where Marty, you know, took his first dump in the river.
I'm mad now because I didn't look at the mountain composites. I didn't look if there was any crazy quartz deposit. I kind of want to pause the recording and go look.
Well, probably not would be my guess because we already know where the biggest...
But it's a good idea.
But it could be something there.
I'm a little upset with you that you got a really good one that's not on my list.
Well, we should wait till my second one.
But no, I want to talk... The remote viewing thing or the, like, the astral projection or the interdimensional side of it.
Where, all that stuff, you know,
that kind of thought is a really cool thing because I'm going to say 90% of the stories, they don't really interact with people.
Right.
Like, you may not be there to them. Like, they may not even be able to see you.
Or maybe they can, and then once you notice they see you notice them, it's like, whoop, got to get out of here. It snaps them out of their trance, dissolves into nothing.
It could be. But it's a very remote area. As far as I can find, there are, of course, you know, easy hiking trails. They're not really seen on a lot of those. Mm-hmm. A lot of the hiking trails are seen on the more arduous ones. You're actually getting up into the mountains. The roads you're seeing them on are the more desolate roads.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so they're not hyper close to the civilizations in the area.
The lesser the people, the higher the chance to see them.
Yeah, and like I said, there is some paranormal researchers that claim that, you know, you have better chances of seeing them being more dressed in traditional garb. The more high-tech stuff you use, the less likely you'll be to see them. And some of the hikers have kind of resonated that as well, that when they are free climbing, when they're using less, when they're just going out and doing... Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, I said free climbing. The mountain climbers, because there are mountain climbers in this area, that when you're doing that kind of side of it, you see them. Yeah, but the more stuff you bring, the more high-tech, the more modern you look, the less you see them.
Right.
So is it that fear of it? Is it just that with the remote stuff? Like, I'm a big believer in the electronics. Like, the actual electricity we're putting out harms some of these things.
Mm-hmm.
So is it that they maybe you dematerialize them or they can't show themselves in the same way?
Or maybe that's why you're not supposed to wear mixed threads.
Where'd that come from?
It throws off the electromagnetic... aura you put out.
I've heard that, but where's that from?
Isn't it in the Bible, like, you shouldn't wear, like, mixed, like, what is it called? Mixed fabrics or something like that.
Maybe.
It's something like that. I thought it was in the Bible.
It could be. I've read the Bible, but I don't remember everything.
Well, you don't?
No. The Bible takes...
Fooled me.
Of the Bible?
No, you don't remember everything.
Oh, I...
You got a pretty...
I can't remember how to fix anything.
Deep. Well, that's
my
different.
My father is a fixer.
That's different.
He showed me how to fix everything, and I don't remember.
No, you're good at information retention, not...
I'm not a builder.
Mechanical.
You can look at how bad everything is built in the backyard.
Hey, it's still there, though.
Yeah, it's only been a year. anyways. So, yeah, you got another one?
What was my other thought? So there's the remote viewing. The other one I was kind of thinking as you were talking, and I hinted at it, the one being like an ancient tribe, you know, that's just kind of left over. But here's my other one. It was what if these are actual beings that are still alive currently? It's just that's the form they take. They're like in that shadow biosphere.
Okay.
We talked about like the electromagnetic beings.
Okay.
And that's just how they kind of manifest themselves, is you just see the dark shadow.
They're a type of creature that lives. So what you're going at, because I don't think we did that on the, I think it was a Patreon episode with the EVP.
Yeah,
the electronic voice parrots.
Parrots, yeah.
That we theorize that there are life forms that are actually electrical based that live in the Earth's electromagnetic sphere.
Yeah.
There is a lot of evidence that suggests that there is something, what we would call alive, maybe not sentient, but alive in that sphere. I think they may be sentient in some way. Maybe
not how we are.
I put them as parrots, like literally as parrots. They're intelligent enough to mess with us, but maybe not understand what they're doing.
Okay.
And that's my opinion. You know, if there's anything in there, they could be much more intelligent than us, or they could be still at the amoeba level. You know,
It's hard to measure intelligence.
So with that, that could be the same thing, that maybe the quartz deposits or something in these mountains that are special, that why they are they can show up.
Right, yeah. It's just, this is where they live. This is their home.
All right, ready to get in some?
Yeah.
Which I like both of yours that you had. I have probably 10 here.
All right. Is that second one on there?
Halfway, not okay. Really.
All right.
Vague. I'd say you could probably, like, maybe.
Okay.
All right. The first one. You ready for this?
Yes.
And like I said, I like to try, anytime I see any of these out there, I just like to put them out there.
Why not?
Bigfoots in hats.
Okay.
That these are Bigfoot or Bigfoot-like entities where they are wearing robes and they are wearing like a hat. Some people describe them as sombrero. Some people describe them as cowboy hats. Traditionally, it's more the sombrero style, the big rimmed hats.
Big wide hats. Dang.
Which that's my favorite hat because it keeps the most sun off you. And that's if you're standing on these white spur, like these are bleached mountaintops.
Yeah.
Because it's just sun constantly. Phew. So it would make sense. So he's maybe Bigfoot. And Bigfoot has been said to wear clothes a handful of times.
Hats just make me laugh, though.
Yeah, I mean, it may have been trading with the Native Mexicans that lived in that part of California for a while.
But just imagine one, like, putting it on, just being like, yeah.
There was a Bigfoot in Florida that wore a top hat.
Like, for real?
I'm not joking.
Oh, that's amazing.
The locals were like, yeah, he wears a top hat.
That's amazing.
And they're like, what do you mean? It's like, it's a giant hairy ape.
What's that on?
And he wears a hat. All right. Well, we do it too. We're big hairy apes. So yeah. We wear a hat.
Oh, I would love to see it. A sombrero, especially.
But
imagine one like walking, you know, like the forest giants, like the kings of that rule, like a whole mountains. And then he's comes out of the shadows.
But a sombrero is a pretty serious hat.
Yeah,
don't think of like the tourist version that you see at Mexican restaurants.
100% what I'm thinking of.
No, it's like, think of like the old West movies.
Right, those ones.
The tough gunslingers, those kind of sombreros.
But imagine the ones
not the very colorful ones with the balls and
that's
the
what I'm
fluff picturing. On them.
He comes walking out of the woods with his arms crossed, like getting ready to like intimidate you, and he's wearing a sombrero hat. I would chuckle. Like, this is the greatest thing I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah.
And then smash, you're dead.
So there's that with the Bigfoot. What do you think about the Bigfoot?
With that, I'm just going to say no. I just don't think it's that because there's too much weird going on with it that screens Bigfoot. I just don't think so.
Yeah. Next one is giants.
Okay.
And it's kind of the same vein to me. Is that, well, you know, there's a lot of the giants seen around the world in mountain ranges.
Yes.
The last giants, I do believe there may be a handful left. I think they are, you know, we've talked about this in the show a lot. A lot of the last giants, like the giant of Kandahar was blue, had extra fingers, extra teeth, all that stuff.
Yep. You know, Afghanistan.
Those are all signs of chronic inbreeding. So that, to me, points to a species that probably was alive in modern days, they are probably
reduced.
On their last legs.
Yes.
You know, there's
functionally extinct.
Yeah, they're inbreeding because they have to.
Right.
The Native Americans on our side of the country talk about six-finger giants a lot. They talk about them differently than their Bigfoot-type creatures and their stories.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, they're different entities, you know, so the way they describe and all that. So I seen this, that it, maybe it could be a tribe of giants that live in these couple mountains. They're very remote. They're very hostile. They didn't get developed by agriculture or logged because of how hard it was to get in and out of.
Right. It's protected.
So I wonder if it's the last of the North American giants. And that'd be make sense with the clothes. And they're just kind of keeping an eye. Anytime anybody comes into their areas, their territories, they're just kind of keeping an eye out on them.
Like prairie dogs.
Yeah, you know, just watching to see. Not that we're, you know, one human's a predator, but to get found out.
Right, yeah.
Is a very poor problem to have.
Major.
So is it that, you know, is it that they're giants?
Well, I could see that being a thing because, like I mentioned earlier, maybe they're not there to guide you or give you a bad omen for travelers and stuff, but more or less to guide you away from their spots.
To watch your to watch their territory, to watch where they live.
Right, and push you out more passively rather than doing something aggressive, exposing themselves. I don't know.
The Lost Tribe, still hiding in the mountains, is my next one. So this is that, once again, like any, pick a spot in North America, doesn't matter. You know, horrible things happen to Native Americans.
Yeah.
The Spanish were very, very, very rough with the local tribes. So there is, I've seen this posted a lot, that this is a tribe that, of humans, of people, that turned and lived in these mountains. There's caves up there. They're hiding. They're still hiding today. They are essentially an unconnected tribe. They've seen what happened to the other tribes that they were, you know, familiar with in the area get decimated. Right. The ones that live, you know, pretty much were put into slavery. And then disease and, you know, all this stuff. So did they have such a fear of settlers after that horrible experience that they have completely turned away from any contact with the outside world? And, like, the same thing with the giants is that these are just locals. Then the size is a little exaggerated, or there's even a thought that if these are humans, that they are wearing these things on sticks to make themselves more imposing.
Look bigger and scarier.
That there is a person in this, essentially a costume, to keep you away from these areas. And that's why it seems like they can disappear so quick, because they're a human size. They're not 10 foot tall.
20 foot tall, yeah.
And that, you know, people always underestimate natives of any area. They could run on these ridges. They could hide in these cracks. They could, and there's caves there. And so I really, that's one thing I think about a lot with this is that they showed up in most, as far as I could find, after the Spanish got there.
Hmm.
So was this a way for them to scare the Spanish away and keep their tribe alive, and that they just hung on to it for, you know, 300 years?
Yeah, I mean, I could see it. Possibly. They got to be up to some, got some good ways to make themselves appear big, that's for sure.
And I, you know, the stick and the costume.
Like, yeah. I don't know. A way.
I really don't know. It's just one thought.
Yeah.
And it freaks people out enough that it's, you know, and they may not even be that big. It could be forced perspective, standing on these ridges and stuff like that.
Might appear bigger.
You scare, like what we talk about, with, you know, when you scare somebody.
Yeah.
That threat gets bigger.
Every time.
So it could be that they're, you know, they're 8 foot tall or they're 7 foot tall. And, you know, you're really, just the presence and the long history of them is scaring people. Like I said, the Chumash people, or I forgot how to say it. But they didn't have any stories, as far as I could find, of these things, besides a couple people saying that, no, they had stories of them.
Right, yeah.
You know, so as I can really prove, they didn't have any stories of these things.
Unless we have someone from that, you know, descendant from that tribe.
If you have it, I would love it, because it would change things.
Yeah.
And a lot of the regions that you see them are places that you can't easily walk to.
Mm-hmm.
Like they have crumbly slopes. They're very steep. So it's kind of purposely maybe putting themselves with an impassable thing in between the people that are seeing them.
Right.
So I don't know. That's what I really liked when I seen it. That at first, when you say it, it doesn't really make sense. And then when you kind of break it down, I think it does make a little more sense.
Yeah. There's a case to be made.
Now, here's one for you.
All right.
Angels.
Okay.
These are actually angels people are witnessing. And we talk about this with blacker than black, is it's not really a color humans are seeing. It's that your brain is seeing something that your eyes cannot actually process. Your brain can sense a gap in information there. So it puts this blacker than black shape or the color on it just so you can deal with it. You know, it's your brain trying to help you deal with a problem that it knows you can't really see.
Okay.
And we talked about the shadow people. We talked about with all these entities, because that's why people say there's, you know, four or five different types of shadow people at least. It's probably because they're all paranormally, you know, paranormal-based entities that may be reflecting the light spectrum we can't see. Maybe, you know, they're halfway here. So you really can't see them. So your brain is just putting that mask on top of them so you can deal with them.
Right.
So what if these are actual angels?
You can visualize something at least.
And you can't see angels. I mean, they talk about that, you know, some of the angels that were, you know, in the Bible that were seen by people that literally be not afraid. They were so frightening to look at. Or, you know, an angelic being was so frightening to look at. It literally made people go insane.
Hmm.
So what if that's this? It's a watered down version of like what they look like. I have a story with this. Now, there's no validity to this story. Keep in mind.
Okay.
And I'm going to give you the short version. And I think it's from a creepypasta that somebody else took as a serious story and moved on.
It bloomed.
So I'm trying, yeah. So that's the information I have for you. But the valley I've talked about, the agriculture valley below, they had seen the Dark Watchers forever. The church in one of these local little towns had become very occultic and was starting to do very devious things in the early to mid 1800s.
Oh, this never ends well.
So the whole town, like 200 people, had started like practicing cannibalism was one of these things.
Oh, geez.
And the thought is it came from a very, very hard winter.
Okay.
And that cannibalism had to happen, and then they just couldn't go back, which people snap. If you are in the survival situation where you have to eat people, you will never be the same in your life.
No, I would imagine so.
So that the pastor had turned away and all this stuff. Then eventually, so they were having one of their sermons of this occultic church down in this valley. So the whole town was in this church. The door slams, it's a rainy night. The door slams open and one of the Dark Watchers comes in. And it's supposed to be like 8 or 9 foot tall, this mass, and it's like almost like a living fog.
Okay.
And when it throws itself open, it has wings. It wasn't a robe that it was wearing. It was like its wings covering it. And it basically says, you know, you're all damned in the biblical sense. And immediately sets the church on fire.
Oh, geez. Okay.
And like tries to cleanse the town, and almost like 90% of the people die, and a lot of them run away to tell the story.
Oh, geez.
So the dark watch, like, so that's where the angel kind of side of it comes from.
Yeah.
But yeah, there you go. Like I said, there's no validity to that story as far as I can find. Just a story.
It's just a story. Yeah. I mean, if it is true.
And that is the fast version. There's podcasts that have done that for like a half hour, that one story.
Okay.
Because there's just a lot to it. There's a lot, you know.
I mean, let's just say if it is true, that's a pretty compelling case for that. I don't know how else you'd explain that, but other than being a demon.
I mean, either one.
Yeah.
Demons were angels.
Yeah, there's not too much separating them, is there?
No, they were. I mean, they were angels.
No, I know.
Aliens of some kind is my next.
Aliens.
I don't know. I've seen some people say that these are...
I was doing the Giorgio thing.
Oh.
Aliens.
Could it be?
Yes.
Yes.
Ancient astronauts theorize, yes, these are Dark Watchers,
they are ancient astronauts.
Ancient astronauts from another planet system, and they came here to share their knowledge. I don't know. I haven't watched that show in a while.
Giorgio?
Is he here?
I heard him. No. I don't know. I don't have a lot for this one. It's just one that, like I said, people had said that these are, even, I guess, your astral projection thing, that these are beings from another world that are watching, observing, and this is what they look like. So you can't interact with them, as they may not be really be here.
Right, yeah.
They're in their spaceship, or they're on their planet, and they're projecting themselves here.
Right, or they're in some CIA bunker.
Now, that was the other thing, is that there's a lot of alien stuff with this area also.
Okay.
And that's, like I said, the Patreon episode is about the Big Spur UFO incident.
Ooh.
So that's, you know, it's because there were so much. You
preview.
Know.
It's just a little preview ahead.
So that there's thoughts that there may be an alien base in these mountains, and that these Dark Watchers are guarding the entries to it and all that stuff.
Hmm.
And that they are either maybe bodyguards, maybe, you know, maybe not physically aliens themselves, but alien technology.
Right, right, right. Like scarecrows, basically.
Scarecrows, yeah. I don't know. What do you think?
I could believe that.
That's kind of like Braxy. We talked about that with Braxy a long, long time ago, is that there's a chance that an actual UFO crash, and that was the
guard dog.
The guard dog, the repair drone, and it was broken too. And it, you know, just went off on its own thing. Because whatever Braxy was did not seem to be in the best shape.
No.
Everybody seemed like, yeah, it seemed like it was dying.
Yeah, it's not
good. Not good.
Not good.
So what are you going with aliens?
I mean, aliens, whatever aliens are, interdimensional beings, not from here.
Heebie-jeebie people.
I don't, I'm going to say it's not, I just don't feel like it's something like that. I don't know, but it may, but if it is them, I could see them, that being like the manifestation of their kind of, you know, remote viewing or however. Sure. I could see that, but I don't think it's aliens from a ship just hanging out.
All right. I only got four more for you.
Okay.
Like I said, I had a lot for this one.
Yeah.
There was a lot of options. The Dark Watchers are a weird one to research because there's just not a lot of validity,
like tangible evidence,
stuff you can find. They 100% exist. I believe in them. As far as what, when, and where kind of things is right. When that stuff kind of falls apart. But yeah. So here's one for you, and this is a little not the exact same area, but the ant people.
Oh, okay.
The people from underground.
Right. Yeah.
Daryl's talked about it with us, and several. You know, we talked about the Grand Canyon, saying that these entities. What if these are guarding one of the entries to the underground?
Hmm.
The, you know, and the ant people, a lot of times, depending on which tribe or who you talk to, are described as being black entities. Like their whole bodies are black. So what, and they talk about having these massive underground cities. And this is out west, you know. So what if this is the entry to one of these massive underground cities? And these are the ant people guarding.
Well, if they're underground people and they're seen on top of these mountains, well, that explains the hats.
Yeah, they don't like the sun.
Yeah, got to keep that sun off them. Sombrero, big sun hat.
It may just be their head.
Oh, or they're just, they got hat-shaped heads.
Or they just have really wide heads.
Yeah, like a hammerhead.
It has to be a hat.
Hammerhead shark, really.
There's very, very few people besides those poems that have said they've seen them.
Right, yeah.
And, you know, close enough to be like, well, that's a hat.
Right, yeah.
It looks like a hat.
No, it's really just a hammerhead.
So this ant people idea, these underground, and there's several African cultures that even have a similar story of these underground people.
Yeah.
That we roughly call the ant people as well.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think of the ant people?
I think they are real, were real. I think they're definitely a real part of our history that's never spoken of or talked about. But for this case, I don't know. I mean, like I said, it explains the hat thing. Other than that, I don't know. I don't know if that's... I don't feel like
you're very hung up on the hats.
What's it? It's a weird detail for a shadow creature. Like, they specifically describe.
Well there's the hat man.
Well, there's specifically the hat man. There's
several shadow people that have hats.
I thought it was just the hat man.
Well, there's several versions of the hat man.
Well, yeah, but that's...
Sombrero is one of them, as a matter of fact. I do remember.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, shoot. But I've never went like a bang out in that lives out in the mountains, like a shadow bang, having a hat, like specifically.
Why do they just like hats?
I don't know. It's just weird to me.
Getting hung up on the hats. This is going to be called the Attack of the Hat Monsters.
That's right. That's what they should be called.
The Dark Watchers, Attack of the Hat
Monsters. Hat Monsters.
It's probably, if I remember, in 2 weeks as of recording this, to put that as the episode title.
I'll try to remember too.
All right. So ant people, yay or nay?
I'm going to go nay. I'm going to swing nay on that one.
Oh, communist.
Well.
Now, here's one I've seen several times. These are actually skinwalkers / the shaman, the shaman that turn evil. That these are entities of whatever tribes are there, or maybe even tribes. These could be skinwalkers that pushed out by the Spanish of areas, and they kind of took this as a home. And they are changing into these shapes to keep people away from their areas.
Okay.
There's several cultures that talk about, you know, skinwalkers have dens, they have lairs. So this could be the one of the last groups of them. When we talk about Uinta, you know, there's whole mountains or mountain ranges. You know, the Uinta mountains are huge, but there are whole sections of mountain where they, like, you don't go in that. Literally, right. The one was called Skinwalker Valley.
Yeah, don't go there.
3-4 years ago, it was named Skinwalker Valley.
Yeah.
You don't go there because it's where a bunch of skinwalkers live. So that's one thing I kind of drew a comparison to, is that this could be a skin, like this small, it's 140 miles long, but it's specifically the big spur area, which is a lot smaller, like I think 60 miles wide. One of these mountains are like a colony of skinwalkers or a different practicer. That's why I kind of put shaman-like practicer.
Right, right.
It doesn't have to be necessarily skinwalkers.
Right, because those are typically not good or
I don't know scary. These things are good or bad.
Right, but there's not.
You probably don't get to hear the bad stories because
get told. That's true. I mean, it could be because there's some similarities with the Uinta Basin. You know, you got your mountain range. But I don't know. I'm going to lean away from this one as well. I like the idea, but I'm not on board with it.
So I'm going to combine two. Elementals first.
Okay.
And then Fae second.
Okay.
So I kind of like the elemental side of it with the, if you want to take the guy's poem seriously, that he maybe really did have that encounter.
Mm-hmm.
And he just happened to put it in one of his poem books, which is possible because he did that with many other things in that book as well.
Okay.
Even from encountering rattlesnakes and that kind of, like, he put a lot of that in that book. So there's no, I don't proof it's fantastical for him, and I don't have proof it's not fantastical for him. So what if these are elementals? These are the forest guardians. These are the mountain guardians. This area, I am a big believer that the elementals are parallel with how healthy the habitat is. So why we don't see a lot of these things anymore is because a lot of it's been clear cut. A lot of it's been destroyed. The rest of this mountain, you know, had been clear cut. The big spur area survived because how sucky it was to try to get trees out of.
Right. So we weren't in there messing with it, manipulating it.
And so maybe that's why there's so many of them still left here. Why you see multiple of these, what it could be elementals at the same time, is the environment, the habitat is still healthy enough. You know, the next thing you go up to is like the Ho Rainforest up in Washington.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's tons and tons of Bigfooter there.
So maybe they were funneled to this area?
I think they were ubiquitous across the country.
Yeah.
And I think once you start clear cutting, it wasn't they were funneled. There's X of them for every healthy habitat acre.
Okay.
So it's just where the last, so those are the ones that were just there.
So it's one of the
rest
last,
of them are dead.
Last. Oh, okay. Gotcha. They weren't pushed to this area. This is just the last stronghold of
yes.
where they're living.
So I think these elemental and that type of thing are directly connected to the health of the environment. When the environment fails due to whatever reasons, they go away.
I think I'm on board with that.
So I kind of think that with how healthy and how, like, there are still, you know, the redwoods. There's still monster coastal redwoods. There's still all kinds of monster trees here.
Hopefully they stay.
Is that, and then maybe that's why they're still there. They're connected to the trees. They're connected to the whole health of the forest and these mountain habitats.
Maybe too, when they start, like, clear cutting stuff or start, that's when you see these things.
I think there is an immunoreaction.
Yeah.
Where that's, they kind of act as an immune system for nature. And but like a body can only have a healthy immune system for so long
right.
after being attacked, and then it fails. Like mm-hmm. cancer, for example.
Right.
You know, the body will fight until it gives up. You know, it can't. You know,
can't fight forever. Resources. Yeah, exactly.
So I think a similar thing could happen here.
Yeah, I'm on board with that.
And then Fae, you know, would be this a similar thing.
Yes.
But a little more intelligent.
Yeah.
I don't think elementals are. I wouldn't call them intelligent in the way we're intelligent. They may be. I really don't know. Just from actions, I think, like we just said, I think they're much more,
immune system.
Yeah. I think they're much more like an immune system of the environment than an intelligent entity interacting on its own.
Right. Yeah.
I think they're tied to the forest. I think they are the forest in a way. So I don't think they're dumb. I don't think they think like us though.
Okay.
I don't think there's that kind of stuff. And the Fae, I think, have their own motives, their own, you know, they may care for their homes, but they can do their own actions.
Right.
So
more of a thinking process like humans.
More individualism.
Yeah.
That each Fae can be very unique.
Okay.
Where elementals are kind of like the same thing across the board.
Okay.
You know, what do you think of that?
I like that idea. Well, I like your explanation between the two as well, too.
My last thing, and this may put a damper on a lot of these sightings.
Oh.
Is a very rare phenomena that happens in mountains. Do you remember it from the Gray Man episode?
I do remember that, yes. With the fog?
So it doesn't have to be. Fog was the Gray Man specifically.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't have to be.
Okay.
There's a light, a mirror light, like it basically puts a rainbow around you, and it's your shadow.
Mm.
But it looks very rare. It's called the broken specter phenomena.
Okay.
You can look it up, Google it, look at the photos. Some of them are really intimate. They look like a guy standing there, but he'll take a video and he's moving his arm and the thing's moving his arm.
Like the one that waved at him.
Like the one that was blue smoke.
Mm.
Blue, it was like it was smoking a cigarette with him.
Mimicked
him.
Yeah.
And when he ran, it ran.
Interesting.
So there's a chance that this phenomena does take certain conditions. That's not seen all the time. You would not see it from a car, so the car encounters would be gone. It is you. It has to be you or another hiker that you're seeing. So I think some of these, I don't even know what percentage, you could be seeing another hiker. You could be seeing a tree stump that's being illuminated from this phenomena that happens to be people-shaped.
Or hat-shaped.
Or hat-shaped. It could be a submariner on a stump.
Yeah.
There's a lot of those out there.
It happens.
They grow on stumps.
Some, that's where they get them.
They're a big mushroom on a stump.
Yeah. They're native to Mexico, though, those trees.
Yeah. I mean, Mexico, California.
Mm-hmm.
They were the same thing for a long time.
Right. Sombrero tree.
The sombrero shrub. Tree. So this phenomenon, I do not think, explains away all of the Dark Watchers in any way, shape, or form. I do think when you really start looking at some of these encounters, especially some of the more modern ones, I think it may be this.
Yeah. Yeah.
But with the, I'm a real big in the elemental side of this because, like they said, when you start carrying a lot of electronics, they disappear. When you start wearing really modern stuff, which, you know, chemicals and all this stuff, they mm-hmm. disappear. So you may be weakening them locally.
Yeah, you're destroying that that natural.
At least disrupting it.
Enough, disrupting, but, yeah. There you go. It's better.
But the broken specter is one I do think there's a handful of these encounters.
I agree with you on that.
Especially some of like maybe even the 1800 and 1900 ones with the or 1700 and 1800 ones with the Spanish when they're hiking through and they see like. Sometimes people would say they'd run at them and stuff like that, but it's probably right as they started running away.
Gotcha.
You know, so it running looks after like them. It looks like it's running after him. It's essentially your shadow.
Yeah, following you, basically.
There are several others. Like, there was a bunch of random 1700, 1800 stories talking about one kid had climbed up to, like, go see one. And there's two versions of this, what I think is the same story.
Okay.
So it's a caravan of people doing this mountain pass in, like, this, like, 1790s. Doing this mountain pass, and a young like man, like 20-year-old, decides that he really wants to see one of these Dark Watchers. The older people in the caravan have been telling him about, you know, just ignore them. You're going to see them probably. You know, they mind their own if you mind your own kind of deal. You just don't look at them. And so he kept staring at him the whole time. And one of the old guys was like, "Yeah, stop. You know, stop messing with him." And he's like, "Well, one of them looked at me, and he's like, well, that's not good. Don't mess with him."
Yeah.
And so finally, one of the times. The kid was said to climb up on the ridge, and the caravan just left him. They're like, all right.
Well, they left the kid?
Well, yeah, because he's stupid. They're like, well, they're telling me he was stupid because he's like, we've done this 100 times. Don't mess with him.
Don't do this, and he does it.
Some of them said once he got to the top of the ridge, or some of the stories go, once he got to the top of the ridge, all they could hear was screams, like whatever it was which got him. Others say that he had caught back up with him later. You know, his hair had grayed, and he was mad.
Wow.
So, I don't know. Nobody would keep on 300 years ago.
Right, yeah. Hearsay at this point.
Yeah, it's very hearsay. It's,
yeah.
You know, 6-7 generations of human.
Right.
So, I don't know. It's just, the Dark Watchers are one that's fascinated me forever. They're pillars of the paranormal.
Oh, yeah.
Especially when you get out there, because Big Spur has a tons and tons of UFO activity, ghost, Bigfoot, tons and tons of, like, this is just...
Scratching the surface.
But they're there. And when they're seen, like, I don't know. They have a very unique presence. And I really think that it may be a healthy population of elementals.
Okay.
And it's just not, we don't have it very much anymore.
No, we don't.
You know, so it's odd. You know, it's a hard thing to realize. And that maybe that's why the native peoples that live there didn't really talk about them, is that you maybe couldn't see them until they started clear cutting.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they didn't have planes, you know, so they weren't flying and seeing them from the air.
Right, yeah.
They didn't clear cut massive highways to see them from the road.
Cut, yeah, exactly.
You know, we talk about Loch Ness, when we did the Loch Ness story. Why did none of the sightings take place till after the 1940s? Because you couldn't see the lake.
Right, yeah.
You couldn't see the loch from the road because there was a forest in between.
Yep.
You know, so you couldn't see it, you know, so you were only seeing it when you were down there by the water. So it may be something like that. You know, that's why these people, you know, the people that live there really weren't reporting them, at least as common. I mean, maybe they were, maybe they weren't. I'm going personally, Fae.
Yeah, I'm leaning towards Fae, the Fae elemental.
Oh, no, it's the Fae, sorry, the elemental.
Elemental, okay.
I meant elemental.
Well, I kind of lump them both together a little bit.
I think there is a difference.
I agree with you. But with these guys, I mean, I don't know which one it falls under, but I think it could fall under one of them. In my opinion, I don't know. That's how I feel. That or it's actual beings that, well, that even falls under that, Fae and elemental. It's an actual being.
Yeah, it's just a more earth-based being, whether it's those electronic beings.
Yeah.
Like we talked about, or it's literally the embodiment of nature, or they're living fungus, like they're like we talked about a long time ago.
Is yeah,
these are how fungus. I mean, they're not too terribly far from Bob. They're much farther south than I think any of the giant honey fungus are. You know, they prefer wetter climates.
Okay,
this is pretty arid.
Gotcha.
But yeah, that's I'm going elemental. You're going what again?
I guess I'm going. I'll go more fae then.
Okay.
I don't think that they're actual beings. I don't think it's Bigfoot in a hat. I don't think
I love the Bigfoot in the hat.
Me though. Too.
There's a lot of people that believe that.
Yeah. I love it.
There's a lot of people that believe that.
I just don't think that's it.
Which I mean, if I just couldn't, I didn't see anything that looked like.
That's what it is. Yeah. Yeah.
So, I mean,
but I also think it's like a combo of things. I don't think it's just one thing either. I think it could
I think the broken specter.
Yeah. That, is I think that could
a big chunk of it.
Part of the phenomenon. Yeah.
I think it, because it takes a really unique conditions in mountain ranges. And several hikers have said that they've seen the phenomena there. And the one guy actually got pictures from Big Spur of the phenomena. It was in Big Spur.
Yeah.
So that was where
that's evidence. Being seen.
I have been the Great and Powerful Mystery.
And I've been J Clone 81.
We'll catch you next week, guys.
Bye. Bye.
Hey, guys. Thank you for listening to Crypt of the Corn Podcast. Remember, the best way to support the show is share it with a friend. But if you are craving more of the J Clones
and more from Mr. E,
there's always extra content on Patreon
and our paid member space on CryptidsOfTheCorn.com.
We'll catch you next time with more exciting, fun, and informative information.
Bye!
You have 5 new messages. Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week? Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today. Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.
Sally from Finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.